launching a lot of initiatives around our data work, and that was releasing new data for the public to interact with, and namely developers, people who write applications and software outside the walls of government to utilize our data to take advantage of rich government data. It's a very much a tip of the iceberg thing where we're going to have a lot more data out there, and we want to give people an early look of how we're going to do this in the future.
And I'm going to ask you to take a step back. When you're starting planning this, you're coming up with these ideas, what's the goal that you want to accomplish?
Well, our goal is really around three pillars: communication, participation, and data. And communication is how you really think about probably most government websites, that it has a direct communication line to citizens to learn about what an agency is doing, what services it provides, and what value it brings to the citizens of this country. We take that a step further, and we think a lot about using social media, Twitter and YouTube and Facebook and other things to kind of reach the broadest set of citizens. On participation is how do we get citizens involved in the work that we do, both on how we design and build our website, to the rules that this regulatory agency creates. So we actually have the ability for citizens to give us comment that actually goes into the public record. That's kind of a first ever in government in the way we did use Web 2.0 technologies to do this. And then the last pillar for us is around data. It's not only, you know, how do we use our data inside the agency to make better decisions, but also how do we collect data from the industry, and then how do we disseminate that data to people, and it is the public's data, in the best possible way.
And I want to get to some of the things like APIs and some of the things that you've made available, but as I was clicking through the FCC page last week, there are some of these pages that are a little bit daunting unless you're really an expert in this stuff. These pages that just have all these rulings and all these proposed rules, and if you're interested in things from a Joe layperson's viewpoint, can be a little bit intimidating.
That's right. And that's really what unlocking data and making that data available to third parties to use in programmatic ways really adds, in that it allows public interest groups that have maybe a particular subject matter that they're interested in, or community groups or other government agencies or state governments, to utilize federal data and put that data out in front of citizens in a way that is consumable for them. You know, we have a wealth of information inside this building. I think in our records room, a floor below me is 7 million linear feet of paper that we have aspirations of scanning all that and making that all available. If we can take that data and put it out in a way that allows citizens to utilize it or different developers to utilize it, then we can sort of solve the problem you presented.
So how would you envision that this would work? How would all this data be used in an effective way to really create information that is usable for people?
So take for example the data we released around broadband speeds. We launched an application early this spring that allows you, over your mobile device or from your home computer, to test your broadband speed, both on the wireless like 3G network and in your home. And we had over 1 million people run that test around the country and test their broadband speeds. Our announcement this week makes that data available and allows programmers to come in and write applications to consume that data. So the scenario I often think about is since I'm a year and a half in DC, I moved here from the West Coast, is think about the real estate scenario. You're going to a new place and buying a new home. You're looking to maybe change the house you live in. I should be able to, as a 21st century consumer, click on a home on a real estate site and see what broadband capabilities are available in that home. You know, see what speeds they get, see if there's maybe fiber optics run to that home, and different information to that level. And I would make an informed purchase decision and maybe actually choose a house that's a few blocks away if it had fiber or not, because it's so important to my life and, you know, millions and millions of Americans.
And that brings us to something called APIs. And I think most people, 90% of the people out there hear the term API. They don't have a clue as to what an API is. But APIs are important because they make it websites able to use that data that you just mentioned and almost overlay it. So you can almost have a Yelp of real estate where all of a sudden you could see, okay, the schools overlay broadband accessibility, even maybe environmental data. All that becomes available in almost a typical way.
That's right.
Yeah.
So APIs are application programming interfaces, and having multiple interfaces into different kinds of data does exactly what you said, which is allows data to be layered on top of each other. So I could have a map with broadband speeds, and it may be interesting if I'm a policymaker to then look at maybe rural healthcare locations to understand it. Or, you know, are we getting broadband out to rural healthcare as we think about electronic medical records? Or I could look at smart grid technology and the energy grid of the United States, and do I have broadband there in the right way that would allow me to have a much more intelligent grid that could my electric car could tell the grid when to, or the grid could tell my electric car when to draw power and power up over the evening when demand is at its lowest and things like that. Just really interesting scenarios emerge out of the clarity that's created when you suddenly have views into the rich data that's inside the federal government.
And so often we use these, we talk about these in terms of facing the citizen, but if our audience, mostly feds, also this making this available in an API way, all of a sudden if you're at USDA and you're saying, hold on, I'm putting more stuff online, am I really able to reach the audience that I'm looking for? You could use that API data, overlay it on a map, and all of a sudden you can see in a real way who you're reaching out to, what's the most effective way of reaching out.
Right, and there is a lot of opportunity here for government-to-government interaction. One of the APIs that we released this week is just simply a census block converter. You know, a lot of government data is locked up in or organized by census block, but no one's actually written the converter to say, if I live at this place in this location, what census block is that? And so we wrote a little converter that allows you to just simply put in a GPS coordinate, and we'll return to you what census block you're in. That combined with data at Department of Transportation or Commerce or other places could really open up interesting analysis and the ability to map and other things to do that. And so as we face problems, our motivation here is to actually create a platform of these APIs that allow anyone, including the federal government, citizens, et cetera, to utilize.
So I know you did this. You made the big announcement. So what have you done for me lately? What comes next after this? Do you just add more APIs as time goes on? I know that you have that big almost Indiana Jones type of warehouse of all these documents to get scanned in and make those available in some form. What's the next as you go on down this path?
Well, we do a few things. One is we as you said, keep unlocking the data and keep taking data sets and moving those online. We have a website called FCC/data that has a lot of the public data sets. Most of those aren't APIs today, so we're going to do all the hard work to convert those into programming interfaces.
And let me just pause you there. How hard is this work? How hard is it to take all this data and turn it into APIs? Because I know a lot of agencies say, I have that Indiana Jones place filled with data. Is that hard to do?
It's not. It's actually very easy to convert into API. The problem and the difficulty in any data conversion is the quality of the data. You know, we oversee the telecom industry. You may have entries in your data that say, for an industry for us, say an entry says that a company's name is ATT, and then the next record will say AT&T, and the next record will say AT&T,
right.
And it's going to go down the list. Getting that data to normalize and cleaning up the data is the hardest part of a data conversion. And you can imagine scanning in 7 million linear feet of paper, you're going to have an instance where you're going to have a lot of work to do to kind of clean up the data, so to speak. But there are ways, and we're exploring ways, to actually have the public help us in that and get better there. And so unlocking the data and doing that in a smart way is our first step.
And I didn't mean to interrupt you earlier, but I think this is an important point. At some point, you have to make a determination that making even incomplete data available is more important than perfecting it to the nth degree. How do you make that decision? It seems like a big decision to make.
It is. I think that's the first step. As you Get your data out there, you know, make sure that the privacy information is not in your data. Get your data out there. what we've chosen to do in a few instances is allow the public to then input on top of it and tell us where records are not sound and where we can make improvements, and just make sure you kind of create a culture of that this is a work in progress. The second and probably most important thing is that as federal agencies look forward into the future, think about the relationships where you collect data, and cleaning those up so you get really quality data coming in the door makes really quality data going out the door. And so we're looking,
the less you have to fix,
changing a lot of our policies and rules by the way we collect data from the telecom industry, asking them to send it to us in XML format and by organized in a certain way that we predefine. One, it'll make it a lot easier for them to send us data in the future, and two, it's really clean data both in and out and can be validated. So it's a great tactic to think about in across the federal government. And that's really our next step, is to do that. And then third is to work with the development community and citizens to start to write applications that utilize this. And we'll really get excited about what we see coming out of our citizens to utilize this data.
And how do you get people to do that? And not get people, but almost evangelize. I mean, you're here doing this, so that's right. One step. But also just getting people excited about. I know a lot of developers, they've been waiting to get to this kind of data and are fairly excited about it. So is it just getting the word out? And if you make it available, they'll come?
Data is an awareness thing, and it is if you build it, they will come scenario in large part. The thing I would recommend for a lot of federal agencies is pick data sets that you think will be interesting to people, that people could utilize, or do things where you solve problems, like our census block converter or things like that.
Yeah.
You would be surprised how many people start utilizing that and how much awareness that then builds. There also is the White House launched a website called challenge.gov that allows the government to actually put out contests and challenges for citizens to do, and you can attach monetary prizes and things like that. It's a pretty neat mechanism to build awareness and to get some things built on your behalf, and it's something we're utilizing as well during all of this.
Very nice. Anything I didn't ask you about that I should have?
I think we got it all. The website we launched last week was fcc.gov/developer, and it has all the APIs listed, and all the future ones will be there as well.